All right, Song of Solomon. I want to talk to you. There was an old song, even when I was saved, when we first got saved, that they used to sing called His Name is Like Ointment Poured Forth. How many of you remember that old song? Oh, you're old too, but His Name is as Ointment Poured Forth. And the Song of Solomon says, because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me. How many know unless God draws us, we don't go after him? We love because what he, yeah, you did not choose me, but I chosen you. It says, has brought me, draw me and we will run after you. The king has brought me into his chambers. We'll be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I want to talk to you this morning on the idea. His name is as ointment poured forth. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning that you would touch our lives as we come to glorify your name. Lord, we lift your name on high today. Lord, we lift it up. Lord, there is no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. And so this morning, we've set aside our time, Lord, from all these pursuits of this earth that we could do to come into this house together to glorify your name, to lift it up. Lord, we pray, breathe upon us today. Make what we say is real. What we hear, Lord, bring it deep within our hearts to receive it. We pray, we bind the devil this morning from stealing the word. We bind the enemy that would come and try to distort or distract. And so this morning, Lord, we pray for good soil that the word can bring forth much fruit. We love you today in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Hey, let's give the Lord a good clap offering this morning. Come on. You can be seated today. Woo, that's hot. The Bible says, and I'll say this, what is the savor of his ointment? And the Bible says his name, your name is like ointment poured forth. And I want to talk to you this morning. We're going to talk about the name of the Lord. Jesus was not always called Jesus, whether you know that or not. Because before he became a man in Bethlehem, he was born of a virgin. He existed. Micah 5:1 says this. Now gather yourselves together in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. That was the scripture that Herod and all them searched and found out. Where is the king to be born? They said in Bethlehem. And when they read it, when you read the next verse over it, but thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, it says, out of you shall come forth the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been of old. Jesus had gone forth long before he came forth at Bethlehem. He had gone forth, but he was not called Jesus. In fact, when you read the Old Testament, he was literally not flesh and blood. He was, as far as we can tell, much like an angel. In fact, he was called the Jehovah angel, the angel of Jehovah, when you read the Old Testament. Secondly, you do this. John simply called him the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And exactly how he existed, we don't know. But we know this, that he was not called Jesus because the Bible says in Matthew, here's what the future says. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. See, the angel came to Mary and says, his name shall be called, future tense, shall be called Jesus. And before his birth, he was known as Jehovah, literally. He was known as Jehovah angel. He was known. And thou shalt call his name, or shall be. And the name Jesus is the Hebrew name Yeshua, or Joshua, as we call it in the Old Testament. And Yeshua, or Joshua, meant salvation, savior, redemption, deliverance. The word Jesus is the Hebrew word for salvation. So when you say, and when we say Jesus, we're literally saying salvation, redemption, Healing is involved in that. I'll get in that later. Jesus, as I said, is a Jewish word for redemption. And I like what Paul said, because Paul, as our beginnings in our church, because he was sent to us as Gentiles. Listen to what he said in Colossians 3. In whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in what? Whatever you do in word and whatever you do in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you do in your words or in your deeds, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'll explain that in just a minute. Have you ever noticed how unsaved people very rarely, that few exemptions, but very rarely ever use the name Jesus outside of a swear word? They'll talk about God. They'll talk about Christ. They'll talk about you name it. But very rarely will a lost person ever say the name Jesus outside of cursing and using it as a curse word. And when you begin to read that, it says, Acts chapter 3, the early church got in trouble continually because of the name of Jesus. Let me just read some of these scriptures. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name, say, everybody say in the name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, next verse. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel at this? Or why look so earnestly on us as though by our own power, our own holiness? Now watch this. He said, listen, it wasn't because we were so holy. That's why God worked through us. It wasn't because we have some innate power in ourselves. That's not why this man stands before you healed. Watch what he said. Well, it says, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of the fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, denied in the presence of Pilate, and when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, the just, the desire to murder to be granted unto you. Killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in what? Through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is laid, which is by him, hath given him the perfect soundness. He said, let me tell you something. It wasn't our holiness. It's because we knew and understand the power of his name. We have learned, and long before Paul penned his words in Colossians, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name. These disciples began to spread throughout the city of Jerusalem after the resurrection, and they began to use what was left of them, because he didn't leave them houses. He didn't leave them cottages. He didn't leave them bank accounts. What he left them was his name. Come on, somebody. And he said, take my name and use it. And they begin to go forth. And the Bible says, Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But what I have, that I give you. What have I got? What do you got, Peter? I was left his name. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says he did. And so he says, tell him, in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Look at the next one. As they spake unto the people, the priest and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They hands on them, put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening time. Okay, get in the next scripture. It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John Alexander, as many as were kindred of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, now notice what they ask him, by what power, and notice this next question, by what name have you done this? By what power? And notice the question they ask. And by what name have you done this? I like Peter. Watch this. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, Be it known unto you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, come on, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. There is the stone which the set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. Come on, give him a good clap offering. Everybody say, no other name. No other name. I like, you talking about bold. How many, he's just bold. But here's what they said. But that it spread no further among the people. Here's the rulers. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth no man in this name. Come on, somebody. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. Now, notice what they did. They go together. They meet with the church. They tell them what the rulers said to them. And here's what they pray. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that we may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Everybody say Jesus, would you? Let me tell you, there's something about that name. His name is as ointment poured forth. His name brings healing. And Paul said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Now, let me warn you. If you're not a Christian, do not use the name Jesus. If you are not a Christian, do not use the name Jesus. Look what happened here. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, and so that from his body were brought the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out from them. Then certain of the vagabond, everybody say vagabond. That ought to give you a clue right there. These aren't Christians. Certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over that them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord. Let me tell you how God's going to magnify his name. Watch this. He is going to magnify his name. Took upon themselves to call over them that had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. We don't, but Paul preaches. Watch what happens. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit inside this man looked out and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Come on, somebody. It's not some magic formula. It's not some secret you learn. It's being in relationship with the name of Jesus. Being in relationship with him. See, let me tell you, in that day, many people were called Jesus. Jesus was not an exclusive name just to Jesus. That's why they said Jesus of Nazareth. Many people were called Jesus. In the Spanish culture, many people today are still called Jesus or Jesus. They're called Jesus. And so it's not that this name has some magic formula. It's the man behind the name. Come on, somebody. It's the person behind the name. It's the cross has no power. It's the man that was on the cross that has the power. It's the reason many people were crucified on crosses. The cross is only the idea that it was who was on that cross. And so the name of Jesus is put there because of his name in Acts 19. And look at this and look through the ending of the gospel. In that day, Jesus said, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in what? In my name, he will give it you. Hither you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive that your joy. See, you don't just, it's not a tag on at the end. Well, Lord, thank you for our food. Thank you for, tonight, guard us, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. It's not some magic formula tag on at the end. It's your relationship with him. It's you walked with him. You've talked, and you've got a relationship with him. And you're asking now, not on your own basis. Or like Paul, like Peter said, you're looking at us if it's own, our own power or our own holiness. But he said, it's faith in his name. It's faith in him. It's understanding him. It's taking hold of him. And it says, by faith in his name, does this man stand before you whole? And Jesus said, you've not asked anything in my name up to this point. He said, but I'm leaving. And now here's what I want you to do. Whatever you do, I want you to ask. And I want you to ask it in my name. Don't look at yourself about your holiness. And remember we talked about when they brought the lamb, you know, to get their sins covered. They didn't look at themselves. They were always looking at the lamb. Is the lamb perfect? Is the lamb no spots and blemishes? Is the lamb acceptable to God? And when they offered the lamb then, a spotless lamb, is what then provided their covering, their healing, their protection. While the rest of Egypt was dying, they were saved. Come on, somebody. While the rest of Egypt was sick, they were healed. There was a touch there. Look at the next one. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, everybody say in my name, I'll do it. Look again. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it. Go to the next one. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name. Everybody say in my name. In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. All of that is done in my name. And they did exactly what he said, because they spread throughout Jerusalem and they spoke the name of Jesus. They healed, they preached, and all that they did, they said, in the name of Jesus. And the rulers brought them together and said, what name have you used? What are you doing? And they said, if you want to know, we're doing it all in the name. This man stands before you perfectly well in the name of Jesus Christ. Now notice what, go to the next one. Jesus came and spake to them saying, all power. Everybody say all power. Is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go to the next scripture. And here's what Paul said again. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatever you do, and just throw everything you would, you speak everything you do. He said, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. Now, bring the lights down. I want you to watch a video of an 11-year-old boy from a church over in Texas called Bent Tree Church. And I want you to listen, because when we say, and as I said just now, it's not because of some magic thing about just the name of Jesus. It is who that name is attached to. It is what he's done. And as I said, long before he was born at Bethlehem, he existed. They called him the Word, Jehovah, Redemption, all that. And then when he was born in flesh and blood, he became known as Jesus. And I want you to notice it, but I want you to watch it, because Jesus has been around throughout the whole time. In fact, the Bible says the worlds were created by him. He created everything we see. I want you, this 11-year-old boy, I thought about having him come preach. It will stir you. And what he does, he talks about Jesus throughout the Bible. I want you to watch this. Go ahead and watch. Go ahead and play it.
In Genesis, Jesus Christ is the breath of life. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he's our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra and Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. And in Esther, he is our Mordecai. In Job, he is our ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, he is our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom. And in Song of Solomon, he is our loving bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he is the righteous branch. In Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man. And in Daniel, he's the fourth man in life's fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband forever married to the backslider. In Joel, he's the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. In Amos, he is our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he is mighty to save. In Jonah, he is our great foreign missionary. In Micah, he's the messenger of beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's our strength and shield. In Habakkuk, he's God's evangelist crying, "Revive thy works in the midst of the years." In Zephaniah, he is our savior. In Haggai, he is the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, he is the fountain opened up in the house of David for sin and uncleanliness. And in Malachi, he is the son of righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. In Matthew, Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews. In Mark, he's the servant. In Luke, he is the Son of Man, feeling what you feel. In John, he's the Son of God. In Acts, he's the Savior of the world. In Romans, he's the righteousness of God. In 1 Corinthians, he's the rock, the father of Israel. In 2 Corinthians, he's the triumphal one, giving victory. In Galatians, he is your liberty. He set you free. In Ephesians, he is the head of the church. In Philippians, he is your joy. In Colossians, he is your completeness. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is your hope. In 1 Timothy, he's your faith. In 2 Timothy, he's your stability. In Titus, he is truth. In Philemon, he's your benefit. In Hebrews, he's the he's your perfection. In James, he's the power behind your faith. In 1 Peter, he's your example. In 2 Peter, he's your purity. In 1 John, he is your life. In 2 John, he's your pattern. In 3 John, he's your motivation. In Jude, he's the foundation of your faith. And in Revelation, he is your coming King. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the keeper of creation and the creator of all. The architect of the universe and the manager of all times. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. Unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced in his pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him. The armies can't defeat him. The schools can't explain him, and the leaders can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. The people couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. The New Age can't replace him. He is life, love, longevity, and more. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and God. He is holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, and pure. His ways are right, and his word is eternal. His will is unchanging, and his mind is on me. He is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. He is my guide. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my comfort. He is my Lord, and he rules my life.
The Lord. Go ahead and keep the lights down. I'm sorry. I should tell you that. I want the musicians to come on up. And I want you guys, just tell me, stop at the communion table if you would. I'm going to get you to get your communion before we go up. Bow your heads just a minute. Let's pray over this communion. And as they're getting it, we're going to take time. Father, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, this morning we have come to you, Lord, and we are asking all things in your name. And we ask, Lord, this communion that as we remember what you did for us, and we remember it, Lord, and when we say your name, that we know why it's been exalted. We ask you, Lord, now, make this come alive. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We give you grace and give you glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said good amen. Amen. Turn, put up Philippians if you would. The Bible shows and says that all power and authority was given unto the Lord after the resurrection. Not prior, but after the resurrection. And the question comes, why? Why did God? Because when Jesus appeared, he said, all power and authority has been given me. Which tells me that it was not given him prior. He had laid it all down at Bethlehem. And I want you to see, look at Philippians. It says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name. Now here is why, when we say the name of Jesus, why it is and why we do everything we do in word and deed, why we ask, all of everything is done in the name of Jesus. Because here it is. Peter said, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. And I want you to notice this. It says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And he explains why. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, I want you to get this, because the Bible says, begin to speak of it, and he says, the Holy Spirit honors the name of Jesus. And the reason is because he has given him a name above every other name. And why did he exalt the name? Listen, you don't get healed because of who prays for you. It's whoever prays for you at times if they have faith in his name. If you believe in his name, there is power in his name. But why did God put all this power in his name? And I want to talk to you because there's a couple things. Number one is this. Number one, it was he disrobed himself. 5-7 says he made, no, go back. 5-7 says he made of himself no reputation. He took upon himself. Listen, the first thing he did was this. He literally disrobed himself. God came in and at some point the eternal counsels of God came together. And at some point, he that existed, the Word that was existing with the Father, and he not only was with God, he was God. At some point, the decision was made. If I could say it in human terms that way, that the Word would become flesh, that the Word would come and be born through the birth canal of all human beings as we come forth. And that out of that would come a little baby, and it would be entrusted to a little girl named Mary. And the Bible says that the Word that had existed in glory and power and authority, the Word had been spoken and the worlds came to existence. He says, let me tell you why that name carries all the authority and all the power of the universe. Because the day came when the Word disrobed itself of all its glory, disrobed itself of all of its authority, and became flesh. Jesus, who was known as, I said, Joshua or Jehovah, or as the Word, we don't know all that he was called then. He literally came and humbled himself. He came to Bethlehem and he let go of his limitlessness, something like that, and became finite. The infinite became finite. The all-powerful became humanity. Deity wrapped in humanity. One that never knew tiredness now would know what it is to sit by a well, thirsty and tired. The one that created, you know, we talked about the other week how huge the universe is, would now confine himself to a little baby's body and be born and go through all. Why did he give so much power? Number one. Number two, verse 7 says, it's that he took upon himself the form of a servant. Listen, he became a servant. He to whom the angels bowed, who threw the stars into space, who made black holes, who made cosmos, who made it all, is now going to lay aside his billions on billions of just not even just silly American dollars of riches untold. And don't get too spiritualist. He became a servant, washed his own disciples' feet, which was the job of a servant. He humbled himself. Why did he get the name? And then verse 7, it says this. He was made in the likeness of a man. He was made in the likeness of man. You know what that means? That means he literally became human. Think this through with me. As far as we know, the angels had never saw God cry. There's no tears in heaven. The Bible says when we get there, it'll all be wiped away. The angels, how many millions or billions or billions? We don't know what the time frame is that they've existed. Say it's been billions and billions and billions of years the angels existed with God. They had never saw God cry. Jesus existed all that time. From before the angels were ever brought forth, Jesus existed. And what? We don't know. He was called the Word. He was called Jehovah. The Word was God. The Word was with God. We know that. Existed with God. The angels had never seen God cry. And suddenly, he that knew no limits now is limited. He that had was the light of heaven, which he'll be the light of heaven again. The Bible says there's no need of sun or moon or that because Jesus will be the light thereof. He now turns it off. And he looks like me and you. He has to be pointed out by Judas in the garden, or the soldiers wouldn't know who he is because he looks just like us. He was made in the likeness of man. He comes and listen. And now the angels are watching and they see him. They see their God walk up to a tomb, begin to cry over his friend Lazarus. The Bible says Jesus wept. They'd never seen God cry before. Can you imagine? And then the Bible, listen, Jesus feels what we felt. A man, the Bible says he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. You know what the word acquainted means? It means you met. You know, I'm acquainted with so-and-so. It means you met them. It says he was a man of sorrows, acquainted. He'd met grief. See, grief is beyond sorrow. It says, Job wrote and says, you've added grief to my sorrow. You know, it means that when he was made in the likeness of us, he literally became like me and you. And then there was the last step that he took. It's when he gave away his limitless, and he became limited, that was humility. When he laid down his glory and became just like me and you, that was humility. When he took upon himself the form of a servant, washed his disciples' feet, that was humility. Who he was. When he laid aside his billions on billions and billions and came to a place where he says, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but I have nowhere to lay my head. That was humility. But this last step that he takes is the lowest of the lowest of the lowest. Because what he's about to do is, I want you to consider the last thing that it says that Jesus did that caused the Father to give him the name, which is above every name, is verse 8. We finally get to it. It says this. Being found in the fashion of a man. All right, all that I just said, being found when he finally, the Bible says in Isaiah, when he comes to himself in a way or knows him, who he is. At 12 years old, we know now he has come to the realization of who he is. We don't know when he was a little baby, at what point the knowledge of who he was came to him. He knew he was the Son of the living God. He knew he was God. We don't know. We just don't. We know at 12 years of age he knew. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Listen to this. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When he disrobed himself, that was humility. When he became of no reputation, humility. When he became a servant, humility. But what is this? What is this when the Bible says he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to the point of the cross? Listen, that's when he hung naked. You know this to be true. The pictures and the paintings are all wrong. They stripped him completely naked. They humiliated a crucified person in that day. And the Bible speaks of him in Isaiah. This is, he left his honor in heaven. Now, I want you to get this, because what he did not do for himself. What he did for us, he left his heavenly body. For us, he left his honor in heaven to be despised. For us, he left being King of Kings to become a servant. For us, he left the joy of the Father's presence to fill your heartache and mine. For us, he did all this. Listen, there were 600 soldiers, they say, in that battalion the day when they brought him in and arrested him. 600 soldiers that beat him mercilessly. 600 soldiers that pulled his beard. Look at Isaiah. Look what Isaiah 52 says. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently and shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And as many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred. That means his face, his body was so marred more than any man. And his form more than the sons of men. Just as many were astonished. And the Bible says they beat him when they got him in that close quarters after they had arrested him that night. Not just 5, not 10 guys in a room, not a couple, you know, interrogating him. Most scholars believe there were over 600 soldiers that were trained in brutality. 600 of them took their turns. 600 of them began to beat him. Now I want you to get this, because on the cross, he cries out these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? We think that that has to do with him crying out that he felt the absence of the Father, which is true. But it also had to do with this, that God lifted his protection. He that knew no sin, Jesus, became sin for us. And when that occurred, here was the transaction that occurred. The Father then abandoned the Son. For God so loved the world, he gave. What does that mean? It means he backed off. Even to the point where Jesus cried, why have you forsaken me, O God? Even though he knew, even though he understood the depth of what he went through. You've got to get this. Because Jesus was a man among men. And when he cried on the cross, it was not because of something that he didn't know was happening. The Bible says in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. He knew what was about. Even the spray of Calvary was hitting him. And even that was bringing, the Bible says, he greatly feared that which was coming upon him. And in the anguish and the depth of his humility and the depth of humbling himself, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I believe it was a rhetorical question. He knew, but his heart was hurting so bad, it comes out. And the Bible says, listen, there were over 600 soldiers that beat him. In fact, the Bible says when he was brought out, when he was brought out after they had done what they did, they literally pulled. When you see paintings where it shows Jesus on the cross with a beard, there was no beard left. The Bible says they literally pulled his beard out. He doesn't even look like a man. The Bible says when they looked at him, they were astonished. I'm going to guarantee you his disciples didn't even recognize him anymore. They were astonished at him. look what the next Isaiah 50 in verse 6 says. I gave my back to the smiters. That means the cat of nine tails. And my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I did not hide my face from their shame and their spitting. Let me tell you, they were humiliating him. They put the robe, they put the crown on him. The Bible says they were tormenting him. They were plucking his beard. They were pulling his beard out by the roots. So that when he was brought out before the people, they were astonished. That's Jesus. His face was one big mound of puffing and blood. And the Bible says they beat him. They gave him the cat of nine tails. They beat him mercilessly. Pick it off. And Isaiah 57 and verse 14 says again, he was marred. Look at this. Go to the next verse. It says, many were astonished. His visage was so marred. That means he was literally almost beaten to death with a cat of nine tails. It says his appearance, his form, his body was literally just absolutely. And I can hear him crying out before the Lord. Look at Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Go to the next one if you would. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. And if, you know what that means? That means those in that day said he deserved what he got. He bore our griefs. And I'm going to tell you again, what he did for you. And what he did for me. And what he did for us. He loved us so much. And the reason his name is as ointment poured forth, the reason God gave him the name above everything, the reason he said, now go in my name, the reason is, it's not because had some fancy name, because of who it is behind the name that we speak. It's what he did. And the Bible says he went all the way. He carried our griefs, borne them, and carried all of our sorrows. Look at Matthew 8. Look at what it says here. It says, and when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever and touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and ministered unto him. And when the evening was come, they brought in many that were possessed with devils and cast the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Elias the prophet, he himself took our infirmities and he bore our illnesses. Let me tell you, you know what that means? When he was on the cross, he that knew no sin became sin. When he was on the cross, he bore our sorrows and he bore our sicknesses. Aren't you glad he not only works emotionally, but he works physically too? And the Bible said, listen to it, Jesus pictured himself this way one day. He said, even as Moses raised the serpent up on a stick. Remember when the snakes got in the camp? And the Bible says Moses went and made a bronze serpent, raised that serpent up. And everyone that looked toward that serpent was healed. And Jesus said, even as Moses raised the serpent up in the wilderness and all that looked were healed, he said, so shall the Son of Man be raised up and all that look unto him shall be healed. You know what? He likened himself to that because he that knew no sin became sin, that whosoever looks at him might be saved. And because, listen, he humbled himself even to the point of death. And last scripture this morning, verse 4 says this. Isaiah says, he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, we esteemed him stricken. Listen, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him. He did it for us. Listen, this is the time to understand that, listen, there is power in the name of Jesus. I want you to lay everything aside this morning. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you in just a minute. There is communion tables, I think. Is there one in the back or they're all up front? They're in the back and the front? Okay, there's some in the back and there's some in the back and some in the front here. And I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to have the men come on up if you would. And it's going to pass out the communion. What we're going to do is we're going to take the communion and we're going to put it around on different tables. And you're welcome. In just a minute, we're going to release you. And I want you to go pick up the wine and I want you to go pick up the little cup and I want you to pick up the bread. All right, or the juice and the bread. And I want you to hold it till we're all ready. And while we're doing this, I've got Gloria Gaither many years ago had a little thing that she did on the name of Jesus. And while you're walking and doing it, I want you to listen to it. Because this morning, I believe in the power of the name of Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Would you say Jesus? Father, this morning we love you afresh and new again one more time. And we give so much honor to your name and so much glory to your name this morning. We just love the name of Jesus. And we say it with with love, and we say it with respect, and we say it knowing the authority that it carries. How we love you. And this morning, would you do mighty things through the name of Jesus of Nazareth? And we will be sure to give you all the glory and the honor. Lord, let this communion now this morning be a remembrance of all that you've done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Go ahead and do that, guys. If y'all would take it around the different tables and set it, and then they'll go out on the different tables. And I want you to get ready, because I don't know what your need is this morning and what you're experiencing, but I want you to do this. As they go to the different tables, I want you to take it. And Wally, if you would, go ahead and play that little piece. And as they're playing that, you're free now. Why don't you go ahead to the table? They're bringing it back there for you. Go ahead to one of the tables, and that'll be a blessing to you. Go ahead, Wally.
Jesus. Bear mention of his name. Calm the storm. Heal the broken. Raise the dead. At the name of Jesus, I've seen sin-hardened men melted. Derelicts transformed. Lights of hope put into the eyes of a hopeless child. In the name of Jesus, hatred and bitterness turn to love and forgiveness. Arguments cease. I've heard her mother softly breathe his name at the bedside of a child delirious from fever. And I've watched as that little body grew quiet and the fever brought cool. I've sat beside a dying saint, her body racked with pain, who in those final fleeting seconds summoned her last ounce of ebbing strength to whisper her sweetest name, Jesus, Jesus. Embers have tried to destroy it. Philosophies have tried to stamp it out. Tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those who claimed it. Yet it still stands. And there shall be that final day when every voice that has ever uttered a sound, every voice of Adam's race, shall rise in one mighty chorus to proclaim the name Jesus. For in that day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is truly Lord. So you see, it was not mere chance that caused an angel one night long ago to say to a virgin maiden, his name should be called Jesus. Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Oh, there is something about that.
Father, this morning we have come to honor your name. We have come to give glory to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, thank you for what you did with your body. Thank you that you filled all of the universe. You were, and yet you came that day in Bethlehem and humbled yourself, limited yourself, disrobed yourself of all your glory. Disrobed yourself of all I can even imagine. This morning as we take this bread, we remember what you did for us. We remember that you emptied yourself, took upon yourself no reputation. You humbled yourself, being found in the form of a servant and of a man. You even went beyond that. You even humbled yourself to the point of death. Not only dying for us, but the death on a cross. You did all those things. Therefore hath God highly exalted you. Therefore God hath given you a name above every name. Therefore this morning we stand as those disciples. And we know it's not our holiness, and we know it's not our own innate power, but it is the name of Jesus of Nazareth. We honor your name this morning. We have come into this house just to say, you are so worthy. As we hold our bread right now, I want you just to take your bread and In your own heart, would you just give thanks what he did for you? See, the Bible says he did all this for us. God so loved the world. God so loved, was in love with the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. To the point where Jesus would have to cry out, my God, why have you... Let me give you an answer to that this morning. Why have you forsaken me? Let me give you an answer to that. Because God so loved the world. Can I answer that question today? My God, why have you forsaken? Because he so loved you and me. He forsook his own Son. How many kings do you know of? How many dictators around the world are having to fight off revolutions because they're not willing to give up their thrones? And yet the God who could never have been defeated or even thought about being approached laid it all down. How many kings do you know of gave up their thrones? How many fathers do you know gave up their sons for you? How many gave up their sons for you? It's the only one I know of. There's only been one King of kings and Lord of lords. There's only been one Father of the universe that gave up his own Son. So this morning we do it with reverence and we do it with a heart of gratitude. And we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We want to be in relationship with you. We want you to be a part of our life. And we thank you for what you did for us. In Jesus' name, would you take the bread and partake this morning? Go ahead and eat your bread if you would. So, Lord, as we hold the cup this morning, we know that you were marred, like to where they, when they saw you, when you were brought out, they were astonished. Your body was marred more than any human, to where they had a hard time even knowing that you were a man. They beat you within an inch of your life. So weakened were you that you fell on the way to Golgotha. They had to get someone to help carry the cross. You never needed anyone. You carried all those tables and chairs and benches and things you'd made, the stone things you'd made all your life. You'd been a carpenter. You were a man's man. Now they'd beaten you to an inch of your life. You'd lost so much blood. They pulled your beard and plucked it to where your face was swollen, to where you couldn't even look like a man. They beat you with the cat of nine tails and the glass and the metal that were tied to the end of that thing had tore your flesh. And you had lost so much of your life's blood before you ever reached Calvary's cross. And then when they hung you on that cross, they stripped you. Let me tell you something this morning. If you have gone through the abuse physically, if you have gone through abuse sexually, if you've gone through things that has embarrassed you to where you feel absolutely raped. Let me say it that way. You feel absolutely used. I tell you something. He bore our sorrows. He was acquainted with our griefs. It means he understands. The angels in heaven said, I could call hundreds of thousands. I could call them and they would be at my disposal in the blinking of an eye. He commands the armies of heaven. He is the general. He's the King of kings. One word from him, planet Earth would have been no more. Yet he was acquainted with our griefs. A man of sorrows. And I don't know what you've experienced and what you've gone through. I'm going to tell you something. There is one who has gone through it before you. He hung in the humility of the cross, the degradation, the abuse. And the Bible says that was the epitome. That was the low point of his descent. He had gone to the bottom. The moment he lifted his head that last time, the Bible says he lifted his head and said, as the king he was, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And then the Bible says he bowed his head. Didn't drop dead. He bowed it as the king he was. And that spirit left that human body. That which had been limitless. Let me tell you something. The blood began back in Gethsemane. The Bible says his pores began to sweat as great drops of blood from the pressure of what he was under. There was a trail of blood that started in Gethsemane and all the way to Pilate's judgment hall, where they beat him, and then to Herod, and then where they'd soldiers had plucked him and beat him, and then along the streets of Jerusalem, the blood trail continued. And then when they brought him to Golgotha, they nailed him through his wrist and through his ankles. And the blood began and continued to pour out. I'm going to tell you something. This morning as we hold this cup, we tell you, Lord Jesus, that we honor you and we thank you. We honor your name because of what you did, who you are, and what you've experienced and what you did for us. And we know your name is no magic formula, but it is you. It's all that you accomplished, all that you did for us. And we believe this morning by the power of your blood, I can say I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for being perfect. Thank you for being without spot or blemish. Thank you for having nothing that anyone could accuse you of. Thank you for every moment when temptation came that you turned it down for us. That you walked purity before your Father because of your love for him and your love for us. And this morning we thank you that we can say we are healed and we are redeemed and we are safe because of the blood of a perfect Lamb. We love you this morning as we hold this cup of juice before you. We remember what you did. And we love you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Go ahead and partake of the juice this morning. Lay aside your cup now and everybody stand up. We're going to sing that old song called Jesus. There's just something about that name. Close your eyes. Would you do that? Even if you don't know the song, you'll catch on real fast. Would you just close your eyes? And would you get alone with the God of the universe? Would you just get alone just for a moment? Just you and him. Not who you came with. Not your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your friend. Would you just get alone with the God of the universe? Jesus of Nazareth will come to you. You'll be caught by surprise. You'll look up into the carpenter's eye. You'll see him. He is near you. He's not far from you. He's there. He's within arm's reach of you. And this morning he wants to come and fellowship with you. He desires that. The Bible says where any two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. When you call his name, he hears. When you speak his name, he answers. When you're near him, listen, when you say it. Come on, close your eyes now. Sing that song, lead us, would you? Come on. The fragrance after the come on.
They will all, they'll all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Come on, sing it all again. Come on, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Come on.
There's just something about that name.
Come on, Master.
Say, Master, my Savior. It's like the fragrance after the rain.
Say it again, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Let all heaven and earth.
Give him a great clap offering today. Come on. Come on, give him a good clap offering today. Lord, we bless you. Come on, give him a good clap offering. There's an old song we used to sing. It says,
no other name but the name of Jesus.
Say it again.
No other name but the name of the Lord. No other name but the name of Jesus. He's worthy.
Come on. Say he's worthy. Close your eyes just a second, would you? We're going to do that first song of the morning again. But here's what we're going to do. Listen, I want you to take a minute, and whatever it is that you're facing, I want you to know that he faced it long before we're having to face it. Whatever you're experiencing, he experienced it. The Bible says, listen, the Bible says he was tempted in all points like unto us, but without sin. Everything you are experiencing, he experienced it. I'm not making it up. I'm not exaggerating. He has experienced everything you're having. You name it. The shame, the abuse, the iniquity, whatever it was, whatever you're facing. And this morning I want you to know, he not only can sympathize because he's man, the good thing is he can solve because he's also God. He not only can sympathize, he can solve. Not only can he knows what it is, he can heal. Not only know, he's been acquainted with it, he's met it, he's walked through it. But this morning he doesn't just bring an answer, he is the answer. When answers aren't enough, there's always Jesus. When you don't know and you can't explain, you don't know why it didn't turn out like you thought it might, let me tell you, he's still the answer. Jesus is the answer. He's not bringing you an answer. He is the answer. He will come and be to you all that you need to be this morning. Listen, what's there not to like about him? You heard that little boy talk about him throughout the whole Bible. What is there not to like about Jesus? What is there not to love about him? What is there not to honor him? What is there not? Because he was perfect. And this morning, I want to sing that first song again this morning. I want you to get ready and just let the heart fill up with joy, because that'll be your strength to get over whatever it is you're having to get over and not get stuck in it, but go on and live through life and let it be in your past and believe God. One day God will explain it. You'll see it in a different light one day. But this morning, I want you to just get ready. Just stretch your heart toward God and say, Lord, you know what? There is nothing not to love about you. There is nothing not to honor you. This morning, we thank you for all that you did, and we honor the great name. Come on, give it one more great clap off here. Would you go ahead and kick it off with?
What's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are.
Sing it again. What's not to love?
What's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are.
Good shout to the Lord this morning. We love you. If you're here, and close your eyes real quick. If you're here and you don't know him, he wants to know you more than life. God did all this just for us, and he did it for you. You're part of us. And this morning, what you can do is just say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want you to change my life. I want you to forgive me of all I've done. Would you come into my life, Lord? I want to know you. And then what happens is you won't be like those seven sons of Sceva that you only know about Jesus whom somebody else preaches, that Paul talks about, or who Pastor Terry talks about, but you'll know Jesus for yourself. You'll know him. You can say, I know Jesus. No, I'm not talking about, I'm not going to use the name of Jesus whom Pastor Terry preaches about. I've met him. I know him. He's mine, and I am his. He's my beloved, and I'm his. I love him because he first loved me. Let me tell you, before you ever love him this morning, he already loves you. Before you ever know him, he already knows your name. He already called you. The only reason you'd respond is because he's already asked you to. You're not going cold turkey. You're not a cold call. This is not one of those cells where you have to go cold calling on you never met. God has already called you. God's already invited you to his house. God's already asked you, come over. God's already said, come knock on my door. Everyone that knocks, I'll open. The book of Revelation says, if you knock, I'll open the door. It's not a cold call. It's already been asked. You will get what you're after. You will. The transaction will occur. It's ready and willing and waiting on you this morning. All you have to do is knock. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is come. The Bible says, whosoever will may come and take of the waters of life freely. You can come. So this morning, all you have to say, Jesus, save me, cleanse me, forgive me of all my past. I'm turning my life over to you. And what you do is this. Don't worry about whether you have the strength right now to do it. You don't. But when you come to him, he gives you the strength, the power to become a son of God. And he gives you the power to live what you wanted to do all along. You want to change your life. So yesterday I was witnessing to a guy, and I remember him telling me he was full of demons. He said, I'm full of demons. I can't get saved. I said, let me tell you something. Everybody has a right to change their life before they die. Everybody has a right to change the epitaph that's going to be written on your tombstone while you're still breathing on this life. And this morning you can change your life. You can say, Jesus, come into my life. Change me. I'm going to tell you, he is willing to do it. He's waiting on you. He's already made the first move. He's called out to you. Now all you have to do is respond. Father, right now, everyone that's doing that right now, that's crying out to you, would you answer them? Would you answer them, Lord? Would you show yourself strong on their behalf? We bless you in Jesus' name. And everybody, let's welcome them into the family. God, would you just give a good clap offering this morning? Do that. God bless you. Turn around, hug somebody. Would you do that? And just say the name Jesus. Would you just say Jesus? Come on. God bless you. Thank you for coming. We'll see you Wednesday night.